Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soito Daf Mem Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the second line from the top. We must, at the outset, apologize for a technical difficulty that caused our previous shiur to stop in mid-sentence. So, in order to appreciate what we are going to be opening with, it is absolutely necessary to be familiar with the end of our Daf Mem Dalet shiur. So, we had mentioned at the end of our previous shiur that there was a machlokes, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, as to the number of Sanhedrin members that must be present for the measuring process in the case of the Egla Arufa. Rabbi Shimon said 3, and that's learned from the word Zekeinecha that appears in the Chumash Dvarim Perichof Aleph Pasuk Beis. And Zekeinecha is in the plural form. Minimum plural is 2, and you cannot have an even number court. So we add 1, making 3. Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and said you have 5. Of course, Zekeinecha equals 2. The Vav of the word Vishovtecha accounts for another 2. That's a total of 4. You can't have an even basin, giving you a total of 5. The Gemara at the second line from the top asks, Ela Me'ata, if the Tanoim are coming to their conclusions based on the plural form of the words, well, when you look at those psukim, you look again at Pasuk Beis of Perek Chaf Aleph, we've included it on the side of the Gemara where it says, V'yotsu zekenecha v'shavtecha u'modetu el he'orim asher sviv v'sechalol. Well, in that Pasuk you have the word V'yotsu, the elders go forth to do the measuring, that is in the plural form, shnayim, minimum plural is 2. It said in the pasuk umadidu, they went and measured, shnayim, another 2. So that accounts for 4 more judges. Well, are you going to then say the Rabbi Yehuda Harekan Tisha? According to Rabbi Yehuda, we had the original 5 plus now add another 4, that really you have to have 9 judges for the measuring. And the Rabbi Shimon, who originally had 3 and we now accounted for another 4, Harei Kan Shiva, now there really are 7 necessary? The Gemara says no, don't conclude that. Hahu miboyale lichditanya. These words, Viyotsu and Umadadu, have a separate role to play. They're not here for numbering purposes. So the Gemara explains, Hahu miboyale lichditanya viyotsu means hein velo shluchein, they shall go forth, namely the actual members of the high court go forth for the measuring, and not through their agents. Umadadu, that tells us shafilu nimtza be'erlil le'ir, even if the body is found, be'erlil means clearly closer to one city more than the other, hayu moedidin, the measuring process would take place anyway. Shemitzva lasot be'medida, there's a fulfillment of a Torah precept in doing the act of measuring. So that you see that the measuring is not a means to an ends. The measuring is actually an ends in itself. Masnisin delok Reb Elazar ben Yankiv. Our Mishnah does not conform or agree with the opinion of Reb Elazar ben Yankiv on this matter. Our Mishnah made no reference to the need to have a king or a high priest, a Kohen Gadol, present. Reb Elazar ben Yankiv says otherwise. On the side, we have a topic heading that we're going to glance at shortly. But first, let's read the Tanaic source in which Reb Elozer ben Yankov appears. Desanya, Reb Elozer ben Yankov Omer, Zikenecha, Zu Sanhedrin. The word Zikenecha is a reference to the high court being present. So far, we don't see anything about numbers, but he uses Zikenecha to tell me members of the high court. This, by the way, is in contrast with the approach taken by Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that we saw in our previous shiur, that in order to determine that members of the high court are the ones present for the measuring, that was derived from the word Shoftecha. Rabbi Elozer ben Yankov uses the word Zekeinecha. Shoftecha, what does Rabbi Elozer ben Yankov derive from the word Shoftecha? Ze Melech v'Kohen Gadol. Present for the, or participating in the measuring must be the king and the high priest. It's interesting just to keep in the back of your mind, even though the issue becomes quite philosophical, and that's going a little beyond the purview of our discussion. But nevertheless, we're dealing with a hideous situation. A murder victim is found, and according to Rabbi Elozer ben Yankov, we can see the whole nation comes to a halt. The king, the high priest, we saw, as well as the members of the high court, have to stop whatever they're doing and come and measure the proximity of the body to the nearest town. Even if it's clear to which town the body is closer, nevertheless, they have to measure, not their agents, not their slaves, themselves, the king and the high priest. Quite something to think about. Nevertheless, let's go on anyway in the Gemara. How do you see from the word Shoftecha, Melech and Kohen Gadol? So Melech, Dichtiv. There's a pasuk that refers to a king. It says, Melech b'mishpat yamid oretz. The word b'mishpat is associated with the word Shoftecha. Kohen Gadol, Dichtiv, Uvoso HaKohanim, Halevim, Ve'al HaShofet, Asher Yeh, V'chulei. In this pasuk you see a reference to the Kohanim, and it's taken to refer to the Kohen Gadol for our purposes, and it, in the proximity of the word HaShofet, in the same pasuk. We introduced Reb Elozer ben Yankov, and he mentioned the need for the high court. On the side, we have our topic heading. The Nosei reads, Biur Shitas Reb Elozer ben Yankov, a clarification of his opinion, Be'inyan Nochechus Sanhedrin B'medida, regarding the need for the presence of the high court for measuring, Ha'im Boi Shehei Shom Kol HaSanhedrin, Olo, does he require the entire court to be present, which would make him quite different than Rabbi Yishimon and Rabbi Yehuda on this point as well, regarding the numbers? Or, no, maybe regarding the high court, he, Rabbi Elozer ben Yankov, will go like either Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda, 3 or 5. Now, the Gemara. Ibayalo, Rabbi Elozer ben Yankov, b'melech v'koyin hu depolig. Is it so that he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda only with regard to king and high priest, avol b'sanhedri, but as far as the number of members of the Sanhedrin, the highest court, ikar Rabbi Yehuda, maybe he holds like Rabbi Yehuda 5, ikar Rabbi Shimon 3, severe lay, that would be his, Rabbi Elozer ben Yankov's opinion, oidilmo, or possibly b'sanhedri nami polig, ad deiko kulo Sanhedri. With regard to the Sanhedrin as well, he takes issue with them, and he, Rabbi Elozer ben Yankov, requiring the entire Sanhedrin. Omar of Yosef. Now, before we go on in the Gemara, just a word about structure. Rabbi Yosef says, Toshma. He brings a Tanaic source. Notice we have a long marking, a long Toshma marking. This is all Rav Yosef's approach to the Gemara. He's going to come to a conclusion. He's going to conclude that for the measuring concerning Egla Rufa, you need to have the entire Sanhedrin present. Like choice bays that we just read, that namely where we read, O Dilma b'Sanhedri Nami Poli, Adi Kukula Sanhedri. That's going to be Rav Yosef's conclusion. After the long marking, you'll notice Abaye enters the picture, and he suggests an alternative to Rav Yosef's conclusion. After Abaye, about three lines after Abaye, the Gemara at the end of the line, you'll see the word Tanya, Tanya Kavosid Rav Yosef. But after all said and done, the Gemara is going to present a Brisa, Tanaic source, that will agree with Rav Yosef's conclusion. The attempt to answer this question on the part of Yosef involves introducing a new topic, an outside topic, through which we'll then deal with the issue of the Sanhedrin and the measuring. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Tatnose subtopic heading. Zokain Mamre, the rebellious Rav, rebellious elder. What do we mean, rebellious elder? Shecholek ala Sanhedrin. He issues a legal ruling at odds against the highest court. And he meets up with them outside the Beis Hamikdash. Bizman shemichutz milishas agosis. Shepogash oisom beBeis Pagi. The Gemara will refer to a place called Beis Pagi. There's a discussion in the commentaries what that refers to. We'll say it's an area that's associated with the outer perimeter of Jerusalem. Beis Pagi might be the forerunner of a place they call today Beth Page. The Zokein Mamre is a rebellious, he's a rebellious scholar in the sense that he is willing to take his opinion and his halachic ruling on a given matter. The Gemara discusses Zokein Mamre in Masechah Sanhedrin at much greater length. But there are certain areas of law, Shigagosei Chatez Donu Kores, that he happens to issue a ruling that disagrees, that it's that is at odds with the Sanhedrin. He eventually can be charged with a capital offense because of his disagreement with them. That's by way of background. Structurally, after we read this Tanaic source, you'll see a double underlining scheme, which is explained on the side as Shlavei Biwur. So stages of clarification, Be'inyin Mispar HaSanhedrin Sheyotsu LeBeit Pagi, Be'inyin HaZokein Mamre. We indicated that the Zokein Mamre meets up with the high court at Beis Pagi, this outer perimeter of Jerusalem, and he disagrees with them over there. How many members of the court are there when he meets up with them over there in Beis Pagi? The other issue that will be touched upon here is a Zokein Mamre doesn't become a Zokein Mamre, doesn't become labeled a Zokein Mamre, a rebellious elder, unless he argues with the Sanhedrin when they are at location, namely at their official location, the Lishkas HaGozis, the chamber that is assigned to them, that's adjacent, that's attached to the Beis HaMikdash. If he disagrees with them and they're not in their chambers, so to speak, not at location, so he doesn't become labeled a Zokein Mamre. And we mentioned before, Zokein Mamre is someone that is actually liable to capital punishment. The Gemara. Omar of Yosef, Toshma. Let's come and hear from the following source a response, a conclusion to the question of how many members of Sanhedrin are needed for the measuring by Eglah Rufa. The source says, Motzon Zokein Mamre Abe Pagi. Motzon means he found them. And anyone who's a Gemara markings veteran knows very well that pronouns are something we find highly undesirable. So when we say he found them, he is the rebellious sage. met up with them, the Sanhedrin. Abei Pagi means not in the Lishkas HaGozes. They were somewhere else in Yerushalayim. Vehimro Aleim, and he rebelled. He argued against them. That's Himro, for our purpose, means is a rebellious ruling. He rebelled against them, refusing to accept their opinion. Yochol Tehe Hamro, also Hamro, is that rebelliousness considered sufficient to label him a Zoke Mamre and then be liable to death? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says in that context, Vekamta Velisa Lamokom. That's what the Pasuk says literally. You will get up and arise to the place. Malame Shamokom Goreim. The presence of the rebelliousness, of the rebellion, of the argument that he has with them must be in the place, their place. The Mokom, the place, Goreim, causes him to become a Zokein Mamre. So we have a Gezeres HaKosov, we have a Pasuk that will say freeze him from becoming liable as a Zokein Mamre. Bear in mind, without the Pasuk, I would have thought otherwise. When you see 99% of the time in the Torah when a pasuk is cited, it's there because without it, I might have thought or I would have thought something else. Okay, the Nofukama. How many members of the court were out there at Bei Pagi when this elder met them? He lema the Nofuk miktsasan. If you say that part of them, not all of them, some of them went out to Bais Pagi. And he met them and he argued with them. Dilma, Hanoch Dika Gavoy Kavose Svira Lahu. Maybe those that are Ika Gavoy means that are inside, meaning those that didn't go out, those that remain in the Bais Hamigdash, those members of Sanhedrin that remained in the Lishkas Hagozes, their official chamber, hold like this elder. And if that be the case, so you wouldn't have thought that he should become a Zokei Mamre in the first place. He's got support by the other members of the Sanhedrin. Elopshita de Nofuk Kuhu. It must be, then, that they all left. And he met up with all of them. Oh, and he contested their ruling. He argued with them. He argued with all of them. And without the Pasuk of Vekamta Velisa Lamokom, I would have thought he becomes a Zokein Mamre by virtue of the fact that he's arguing with the entire high court. So Pasuk comes and says he is innocent. He's not guilty because it wasn't in the place. Ulamai. Okay, we've established that the Pasuk is describing a situation, or let's say it's preempting a situation of him arguing with the high court, him, the Zokein Mamre, arguing with the high court in its entirety out there. What did they go out there for? If they went out for some optional reason, they went out for a picnic. And we're saying they all went out there. Well, mi motzu nafki, could that even be? That a picnic day for the high court, and they would all go out there. V'hoksiv, the pasuk says, "Shorech agan hasar al yechser hamozeg." We're not going to preoccupy ourselves with the literal translation of this pasuk, but what we want to learn from it is, as it goes on to say, "Sheim nitzrach echod mehem lotzeis." If a member of the high court for some reason had to leave the Lishkas HaGozes, he has a right, provided in Yesham Esim Shloisha Keneged Sanhedrin Tana Yoitze, if 1/3, the number here is 23 members. 23 is very close to a third of 71, because 23 times 3 would be 69, and we have another 2, it would be 71. So the point here, the pasuk that we didn't translate mentions hamozeg. Mozeg has to do with wine dilution. Two parts water, one part wine. So the amount of wine that's diluted represents one third of the entire cup that will be drunk. We learn from this that one third, a minimum of one third of the court must always be in the Lishkas Hagozes if anyone should want to leave for some kind of personal or optional reason. And Ve'im Lav, if there aren't 23 remaining behind, Eino Yotze, the judge cannot leave the Beis HaMikdash. So the option of them having gone out in their entirety for something optional, that just can't be. Ela pshita ledvar mitzvah. Rather, the whole court went out there for a mitzvah purpose, something that was obligatory, and therefore the drosha from the pasuk in Shir Hashirim Shorech HaGanasar wouldn't apply. Okay, they went out in their entirety for a mitzvah. Lamai, for what mitzvah? Lav lemedidas egla v'rebelozer ben Yagavi. Is it not, in fact, for the measuring of the distance between the corpse and the nearest city in accordance with Reb Elozer ben Yaakov? And this would show us that Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, when he says the Sanhedrin are participants in the measuring, he means the entire Sanhedrin. And that would be like possibility Bays that we had above when we originally raised the question. We said, O Dilma, but Sanhedrin Nami Poli, Gadi Kakula Sanhedrin, that he argues with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, even regarding the numbers of Sanhedrin, where he, Rabbi Elozer ben Yaakov, requires the entire Sanhedrin. So with that Hesber, we can answer our question. We also understand the source where the Zokein Mamre had in fact met the entire Sanhedrin, disagreed with all of them, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. And without the pasuk of a Kantav Lisa Amok, I would have said, what difference does it make where they are? The fact is, he's arguing with the entire Sanhedrin, and that should be enough to account for his guilt. And therefore, the pasuk says, not so. And as we said, how could it be that the entire Sanhedrin is not in the Beis HaMikdash? Because they had to go out for Medidas Egla. Amarle Abaye, lo. Abaye disagrees with Rav Yosef's conclusion. Dilma, maybe that which they all went out lahoisif alo ir valazoros. They went out for the ceremony that is necessary in order to expand the city of Jerusalem and if necessary the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. That has to do with increasing the area that will have a higher level of sanctity than the rest of Israel. For example, Maaser Sheni, the tithe that one separates from his produce on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the sabbatical cycle, that produce is to be eaten only within Jerusalem. And when we speak about expanding the city, if you don't expand it according to the official rules and in accordance with the official ritual, so then you won't accomplish the expansion of sanctity. So the source says, "Kidistan ein moisifin al ha'ir v'al ha'zoros elo be'bezin shel shivim ve'echad." Expansion of the city and courtyards of the Beis HaMikdash, cannot take place unless you have the court of 71. So if in a situation like that, the entire court was out there expanding the city. It involves marching around the city, but the details of that are explained in other Gemaras. That necessitates the presence of the entire Sanhedrin, and if the Zokein Mamre met up with them over there, so he would not become a Zokein Mamre. But as far as Abaye is concerned, the entire court going out for the measuring of the Egla Rufa, that we don't see here. Tanyo Kavoseid Rav Yosef. Here we have a Braisa, a Tanaic source that that states like Rav Yosef concluded from the Mishnah above. What does the Braisa say? Motzon abeis pagi v'himra le'an. The Zokei Mamre met up with them at the base pagi. He disagreed with them. Kagon sheyotzu lemedidas egla o lehoisif al hirva al zoros. Of course, we dashed underline medidas egla. This is the heart of the support for Rav Yosef, where the entire court went out for measuring for egla rufa purposes or for adding to the city. Yochol te'am ros amra, would his disagreement with them lead to his becoming labeled a Zokei Mamre and guilty of a capital punishment? Talmud Lomar, Vekamto Ve'olisa, Melamed Shamokom Gorim. No, he would not become a Zokei Mamre, because that would be so only if he disagreed with them in the Mokom, in their place, namely in the Lishkas Hagozes, the chamber designated for the court in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we go back to points mentioned in the Mishnah regarding the body. And on the side we have a topic heading to Nosei. Nimtza tamun basodeh. If a body is found buried, means covered in the field. The issue of tamun basodeh affects two of quite unrelated areas of halacha, but they're both going to appear in our Gemara. Number one, be'inyan halal, regarding the murder victim. And number two, omrim, sheaves of grain, legabi shikha, regarding the halacha called shikha. Shikha literally means forgotten. There is a tithe that the poor are entitled to, and that tithe, amongst others, is called shikha, and that's in the event that a person, when harvesting his field, and gathering the sheaves of grain, he walked by some sheaves while in the act of picking them up, and he walked by a couple of them, and once you walk by forgetting to pick them up, to gather them in, they become shikha. There's quite a bit more detail to that particular mitzvah of leaving the shikha, but for our purposes we gave a general introduction. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah: Nimtza tamun bagal al tolui beilan. If the murder victim was found buried under a heap of stones or suspended, hanging from a tree, the lo hayu orphan, there would be no eglo arufa ceremony. Lemo masnisin Rabbi Yehuda hi v'loi rabbanan. Can we conclude that our Mishnah that said Prat l'tomun, we exclude that which the body that's covered over from the Eglo Arufo ritual. In other words, covered over is different than finding the body simply lying in the field. So that conclusion would seem to parallel Rabbi Yehuda and not the Rabbonan. Where do Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbonan appear? In the topic of shikha, of the forgotten sheaves, tisanya, v'shochachta oimer basodeh. If you forgot a sheave of grain in the field, so the Torah says you must leave it for the poor man. Prat l'tamun, to the exclusion of an oimer that was, let's say, left in the field, but it was covered over, it was underneath something. It was tamun. Tomun means hidden. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that when the Pasuk uses the word basadeh, it's to the exclusion of Tomun. We saw that in our Mishnah as well. That since the Torah says basadeh, well, we say, I should say the Mishnah itself said the word ba'adama v'lo tamun. It's true, the Mishnah also, the Pasuk also had the word basodeh, which was used to exclude the floating body. But whatever the case is, if something is tamun, so it's excluded. We saw in our Mishnah the body being tamun makes it such that it's excluded from the Egla Rufa ritual. A sheave that's covered over is excluded from the mitzvah of shikha. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. V'chachomim omrim basodeh l'rabbi says atomun, that since the Torah said b'shachach to emre basodeh, that comes to include even the hidden sheaves. So the question is, shall we say that our Mishnah that said prat l'tomun regarding the found body is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda only and not the Rabbanan? Omar Rav, afilu teimo Rabbanan. Our Mishnah that excluded the body that was tomun from Egla Rufa can agree with the Rabbanan by Shikha. Hocha minyone dekra, hosam minyone dekra. These halachas are governed by psukim, each one in its own context. So here we look at the psukim in their context, and there the psukim are viewed in their context. Hocha minyone dekra dechtiv. The pasuk here by Egla Arufa says ki imotze cholol. When a corpse which has been murdered is found, kol hecha de mishtakach, wherever it's found, so that would be an inclusive expression, inclusive ruling, wherever it's found, bo adama prat l'tomun. So from the once you said ki imotze cholol, very much inclusive of wherever it's found, comes along bo adama to limit and exclude tomun. So that's why in our Mishnah, tomun, a tomun body is excluded from Egla Rufa. V'hosam ne'inyon edekro there by shikha. You have to look at the pasuk in its context. Dichtiv ki siksor k'tzircha v'sodecha v'shochach to'imer. The pasuk says when you harvest your field and you forget sheaves, shikha dumia dekotzir. There's a juxtaposition of words, shikha and kotzir, telling us to say the shikha is to be compared to kotzir. Kotzir means the harvest. Ma kotzir begolu, just like that which is harvested is visible. Af shikha begolu, so too, in order to be classified as shikha, it has to be something exposed. Kosav rachmona basodeh l'rabos es atomun. Before you get to the word basodeh, what conclusion did you reach? It must be exposed, just like kotzir. What is gained by adding the word basodeh? Oh, with that we come to include tomun. So notice we have like a push-pull situation in terms of pasuk power. The pasuk with the corpse, the murder victim, started with an inclusionary expression. The follow-up word then will do the opposite, will exclude. In the case of shikha, we started off with an exclusionary situation, limiting you to that which is exposed. Therefore, the follow-up word will then include more. The Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Huda, who said that bo adamo is prat l'tomun, nami tepukle mishikha dumya dekotzir, couldn't Rabbi Huda have used this, we'll call this logic, or this method of conclusion, of juxtaposition of words, that with the word v'shachacht omer is compared to ketzircha basodeh, just like kotzir is exposed, so too the shikha must be something visible and not tomun, which Rabbi Yehuda said, prat l'tomun. Why doesn't he learn from there? Why does he use the word why did he say that the shochach tomer basodeh is the source of excluding tomun? The Gemara says, in hochinam, you know, you're right. From the juxtaposition of shikha and kotzir, I could in fact exclude tomun. Vela basodeh lomali. So then what will Rabbi Huda do with basodeh, which up till now we thought was his basis for excluding tomun? Answer, miboy alei l'rabois shikhas koma. The word basodeh has a separate role. It comes to include shikhas koma. Koma is a reference to standing grains. What does shikas koma mean? So Rashi at the top of the which ordinarily be the Tosfos column, the top line, Rashi says l'shikas koma shim shochach zovis achas liktzor. If he forgot to harvest a corner of the field, koi alo b'lo soshiv l'kachto, he is included in the prohibition, or that corner is included now in the prohibition of going back to take, going back to harvest it. V'hochi mashma v'shochachta oimer oi v'shochachta basodeh. Shikha can be either regarding harvested sheaves, that when you came to collect them, you walked by some, that's shikhas omer, or shikhas soda, as we described, you were harvesting the field and you left one corner unharvested through having forgotten to harvest it. So that's what basodeh does for Rabbi Yehuda. For Rabbanon, shikhas koma menolahu, the Rabbanon are now asked, where do they learn shikhas koma from? Answer, nafka lahu, the Rabbanon will learn it michi miki siksor kitzircha besadecha v'shochachta. Rashi explains how the Rabbanon derive that nafka lahu on the third line from the top, mi besadecha v'shochachta. Kri Bay, you can read that posuk as Sheshochach es ktsas sodehu. He forgot some of his ground. What does it mean to forget your ground? It means to forget harvesting part of your ground. The Gemara continues. The Rabbi Yehuda miboyale lecht rebevo amro belozer. Rabbi Yehuda needs that pasuk of ki siksor ktsircha besodecha v'shochachta for Rabbi Avo's teaching. The Amar Rabbi Avo Amar Rabbi Lozer prat l'shetzofu omrim l'soich zdei chavero. The pasuk tells me that there is no shikha in a case that sheaves ended up in your neighbor's field. The wind blew some of your sheaves into the neighbor's field. They are not going to be categorized as shikha. The Rabbanon, where did the Rabbanon learn that from? Where did the Rabbanon derive prat l'shetzofu oimin l'tochstei chavero? They learn it from the change of words mi basodeh besodecha. Instead of saying basodeh, it says besodecha. We take a look at the maybe just another few words in the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda, besodeh, besodecha, lo mashmalei. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't see any novel, any chidush, any novelty in this choice of words, besodecha instead of sodeh. So we have both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan agreeing that tzofu l'toch stei chavero is not going to be shikha, but the question is, where does each one learn it from? Rashi will start with on the third, fourth line from the top, shetzofu omrim l'sostei chavero, shenoshva ha-ruach, the wind blew, ve'rimo es ha-omrim min ha-oretz, v'tzifosan l'toch stei chavero. And it raised them, and through the wind they flew into the neighbor's field. The Shochan and the owner forgot. The Kosovor She'enon Shelo. His sheaves are right now in the neighbor's fields. He thinks they're not his own, so he doesn't think about them. That idea, Nafka, that halacha is learned mi besodecha. And the word besodecha is in the possessive form, in your field. Velo bestei chavercha. When your sheaves are in your friend's field, it doesn't become shikha. That is how Rabbi Yehuda learns this din of Rabbi Avo. V'rabbanan, mi'uta d'stei chavero, the exclusion of sheaves, your sheaves in friend's fields, nafka lehu, the Rabbanan learn it from midahave le lemichtav ki siksar kitzircha basodeh v'shochachta uksiv besodecha. It's a very, very fine difference. The Rabbanan learn it from the change of expression, from opting to say besodecha instead of the word basodeh. Not necessarily, though, from the fact that besodecha is in the possessive form. That approach was Rabbi Huda's approach. The Rabbanan, it's from the change of word approach. And to that, Rabbi Huda says, I don't see anything there. I don't see that as being my, as serving as a source to exclude Sofu L'Sof Sdei Chavero. We continue in the Gemara. You'll notice we have employed a diamond marking here, and a few lines later, on the side under the Mivneh heading, we indicate Shtei She'lois. There are two questions that are raised in the Gemara. Echad b'inyan shikha, hasheni b'inyan shnei chalolim. One regarding shikha, the topic we've been discussing most recently, and the other going back to the topic of bodies found, two bodies found. Shamashutuf lahem, the common denominator in these two questions, havi inyan tzof, echad agabi chavero. This concept of tzof, tzof literally means floating. We saw a literal use of tzofu in the Gemara and Rashi. The wind blew them, so it's as if they floated over to the neighbor's field. The concept of tzof can also mean something that's not lying directly on the ground, but is on top of something else. Now the Gemara. Boy, Rav Yirmiya, tzofu oimrim l'soich sodehu mahu. Sheaves of grain, and here you can see that we're not going to use the word tzofu in terms of the wind blowing something, but rather sheaves of his own field are lying on top of something else like a stone. We'll introduce later the issue of sheaves lying on top of other sheaves. What is the din regarding that, we'll say that upper sheave, the sheave that's lying on a boulder in your own field that you happen to walk by, does it become shikha? When you say walk by, it means you were gathering your harvest, and you walked by the sheave or two sheaves that were sitting atop a rock. Is that considered shikha? The analysis. Avir sode kisode domi, oi lav kisode domi. Do we say that the airspace of the field is considered like in the field? Or maybe not. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. The reason for this was a technical use of the brackets. We have a starred note on the side. Besochas sograyim, within the brackets, yeshni sayon, there's an attempt, la'anots, to answer this question. Avol nidche. The attempt is rejected. Achrei muvo toshma kehemshich hanisayon lehashiv. After the brackets, another attempt will be brought in an attempt to answer this question. So, with the structure in mind that within the bracketed section there's an attempt but then an immediate rejection, let's go now straight through the Gemara. Bori Rav Yirmiya, we read the question already concerning Tzofur M'Lesoch Stei Chavero Mahu. Avir sode kisode domi, the fact is in the airspace considered sufficient, and it would become shikha o lav kisode domi, or it's not considered in the field, and the sheaves don't become shikha unless they're forgotten, they're passed by the owner when in the field. Homale Rav Kahana the Rav Popi. The Amri Law, another version of names is Rav Kana addressed Rav Zvid. But in both versions, Rav Kana is the speaker. First version of names, he's addressing Rav Popi. Second version, he is addressing Rav Zvid. So Rav Kana says, Tifshot lei midi Rabbi Avom Rabbi Lazar. Why not answer the question from his teaching? We had him just a couple lines above. Di Omar, what did Rabbi Avom Rabbi Lazar say? Prat. L'shetzofu oimrim l'soich stei chavero. when is there an exemption from something becoming shikha? That's when it's tsof betoch ste chavero. The chavero in, when it's tsof beste chavero, then there is an exemption, letoch sodeolo, but within your own field, something that's tsof, like sheaves lying on boulders in your own field, that would not be exempted. And if you walked by it when you were gathering your sheaves and you walked by a sheaf or two that was lying on a rock, too bad. You can't go back and take it. You have to leave it for the poor. So Rav Kahana attempted to answer the question that tzoch, but the tzoch sadehu in his own field is not exempt. It can become shikha. The Gemara says, is that a reasonable conclusion? Ulitameich, according to your method of reasoning, of drawing inferences, so then are you going to say the following? L'toich ste chavero tzafu in munachim lo? If you're going to quote Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Elazar on a rather literal basis and use that as your point of inference, you know what you're going to come out saying? When is there an exemption? When it's tsof besof ste chavero. And what does tsof besof ste chavero mean? It means it's lying on a boulder in your friend's field. Let's say it would be lying directly on the ground in your friend's field. Are you going to say that it would not be exempt then? That it would become shikha and you would not be entitled to take it? V'hobo inon besodecha v'leka. How can you say that if it's lying directly on the floor of your friend's field, it would become shikha, but the pasuk says it has to be in your field in order for it to become shikha? Ela, letoch ste chavero, when you're dealing with sheaves of grain in the neighbor's field, vafilu munochem, even if they are actually lying on the floor. Vahai dukomat sofu, the use of when Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Elazar used the word tsafu, it's simply the lo mishkachas lo ela betsafu. You can't have a case of your sheaves in your neighbor's field without it having been blown over there by the wind. It floated over there. So the word tsafu, as it appeared in Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Elazar's halacha, wasn't a reference to sheaves of grain lying atop other things. And being that that's the case, we can't use Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Elazar as a point of inference to answer the question of tsof within your own field. And when we speak about tsof within your own field, we're not talking about the wind blowing it. We're talking about it's simply grains lying atop other things. Toshma. So we're back to trying to resolve Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question. Oimer shehichzik boy lohilichoy l'ir. A sheaf of grain that the owner picked up with the intention of bringing it into town. V'nichoy al gabi chavero v'shochecho. And he took this oimer and placed it upon another sheaves of grain, and he forgot it. Hatachtoin shikha, ha'ilyoin eino shikha. According to this opinion, the first opinion, the lower one, the one that's hidden, that becomes shikha. However, the upper one does not. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon shnehem einon shikha. Both of them do not become categorized as shikha. Hatachtoin mipnei shu tamun, the bottom one because it's covered over, and v'elyon mipnei shuhu tzof, the upper one doesn't become shikha because it's tzof. Then tzof, we've already mentioned what that means. Ad kan lo pligi ela batachton. The disagreement that you see in this Tanaic source concerns only the bottom one. According to the Tanakhama, the bottom one, the hidden one, becomes shikha, and according to the second opinion, it does not. Aval be'elyoin, regarding the upper ones, the sheave that was placed upon the others, divrei hakol lo havoi shikha. Everyone agrees it does not become shikha. So if you were to stop here, what would your conclusion be? That tsof, Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question was regarding tsof in your own field, it does not become shikha. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to have in the next few lines, a rather vigorous give and take discussion. So we're going to be using a triangle which we started using in order to answer the question, with the point facing up. That represents a response, an answer, and the inverted triangle represents a rejection. The Gemara here now rejects what we just tried to conclude. Shiny Hossam. That case is different. The case of the upper sheaves that we declared as being non-shikha came from the achzik bay zocha bay. Since the owner picked it up, it became his and no longer an entitlement to the poor. The Gemara asks, well then, you know, what the positioning of this triangle with the point facing up is an attempt to reject the rejection. Well, ihachi, if the whole reason is because of Zocha, my irya al gabi chavera, why does the source speak about it being placed on other grains? Afilu basodinami. Even if he lay it directly on the floor of the field, if the whole point of its non-shikha is because of possession, why was it important in the source to speak about it being placed on other sheaves? The Gemara says, in hochinami, you're really right about that, that it didn't have to speak about being placed on other sheaves. Even directly on the floor, it would not have become shikha because of Zochaba, Hichsikbov Zochaba. V'chai tikotoni al gabi chavero, the source featured that example of the upper being upon other sheaves, making them the lower ones. Mishum tachton, because we wanted to focus on the bottom sheaves for the machlokes that was featured in the source. In other words, we have to create a situation of a tachton. How do you do that? By the ones that he picked up, not being placed directly on the floor, but being placed upon other grains. The Gemara says, is that argument really so? The ha mipnei shu tzof komar. The reason that the upper one is not shikha, it's said in the source, because it's tzof, not because he was zoychene. So this, noticing the direction of the triangle, this would then reinstate the answer to Rabbi Yirmiyahu's question, that tzof really is an exemption. The Gemara rejects this. Ema mipnei shu kitzof. The expression of the elyon being exempt is because it's kitzof. What does that mean? We take a look in the Rashi. We're looking at Rashi about a third of the way from the end of the Rashi commentary. Shu Potter, it's exempt from Shikha. Al Shehichsikbo, because he took possession of it. Where does Tsof come into the picture? Ki'ilu Hoya Odenu Tsof Me'al Hakaka Umunoch Biodo. It's as if even though you've already placed it down, but it's as if it's floating over the field being held in your hands. So the exemption, as you can see through learning the Rashi, is not because it's placed upon something else, but rather because you took possession of it. So as far as Rav Yirmiyahu's question is concerned, it certainly does not receive a direct answer in this give and take. Omar Abaye, Hareini keben azay b'shukei Tveria. This is an expression. Abaye was an Amora. He lived hundreds of years after Ben Azai, who was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai, in his generation, was a very sharp scholar. He had practically no competitors in terms of his level of sharpness, of intelligence. And he, when he went out to the markets of Tavera, he was open, he was willing to answer any question. So Abaye felt very good on a given day, and he said, I feel like Ben Azai, when he was walking the markets of Tavera, willing to answer any question. So, a question comes. Omar le'ahu midrabon al Abaye. Here's some anonymous individual comes and asks Abaye the following case. Shnei halolim ze al gabi ze, two corpses, murder victims, one lying on top of the other. Meheichon hu modein. From where does the measurement to the closest city take place? You have to have a starting point, so you have to start from a certain part of this arrangement, these two corpses. Where do you start from? There are three possibilities. Usually in Gemaras you find Aleph, Oy, Dilma, Beis. Like A, O, Dilma, or maybe B. Here we're going to say Aleph, O, Dilma, Beis, O, Dilma, Gimel. It's an unusual structure, but you know it ahead of time. So where the this Hahum Rabbanan asks Abaye concerning these two corpses, where do you start the measurement from? Min b'mino have tamun umin b'mino lo have tzaf ume elyon modeid. Do you say two like entities? Here you have two human bodies. That's called min b'mino. They're the same substance, so to speak. So min b'mino, do you say that in a case where you have two items of the same nature, one covering the other, that creates tamun? And we know that if a body is tamun, we saw machlokes tanoim about that. According to our Mishnah, let me retract. We saw machlokes tanoim concerning tamun by the shikha. But as far as our Mishnah is concerned, and as far as the Gemara is concerned, everyone holds that tamun is exempt from eglo arufa. So do we say that in a min b'mino, two bodies, one on top of the other, the bottom one is considered tamun? That would mean it's exempt. It's not part of the mitzvah of egla rufa. And min b'mino lo havitzaf. But the upper one is even though it's not directly on the floor, but since it's one in the same substance, it's human, two human bodies, the upper one is not considered saf, meaning above the surface. It's one continuum down to the floor. Ume elyon modeid. And as such, if you say that the upper one is not saf, so I would be entitled to measure from the upper one. We know that. Let's continue with the other possibilities. Oy dilma min b'mino have tzaf, umin b'mino lo have tamun. Or do you say that two like substances, the upper one is considered tzaf? So that would already put it out of your mind from egla rufa. However, min b'mino doesn't create tamun. Umitachton modeid. And if you say that, if you accept this approach, then the bottom one is not considered covered over because it's min b'mino, it's covered by its own substance, its own like substance is considered one continuum. Oy dilma, or the third possibility, min b'mino have tamun, that the lower one, the lower body is considered tamun, it's excluded, and min b'mino have tzaf, and the upper one is considered tzaf, it's not on the floor, it's not directly on the floor. And if you say that, v'lo mitachton modeid, v'lo mi'elyon modeid, you're not going to measure from either body. In other words, there's not going to be a case of egla arufa if you accept possibility gimel. Omar lei, so Abaye answers, and we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Tenisua, why not conclude it from the following? Notice we have a long answer marking. Just by way of structure, at the end of this long answer, the Gemara will have a dechia, a rejection. And that will lead to analysis number two of this source. But in the meantime, Abaye thinks that from this source that we're about to read, we can come to a conclusion. So he says, Tenisua, state the following Tanaic source and derive your conclusion. What does it say? Oymer shehichzik bo lo licho le'ir, v'ni choy al gabi chaveru v'shochechoy. We saw this just before. The sheaf of grain that was that the owner picked up to bring to town, and he put it, in the meantime, before he got to town, he put it on top of another other sheaves, and he forgot the that upper one. He forgot it altogether, that and the lower. Hatachton shikho ve'elyoneinu shikho. According to the first opinion, the tachton becomes shikho. The upper one does not. Rav Shimon Yudom and Rav Shimon Rabbi Shimon, shnehem einon shikho. Both of them, upper and lower, are not shikho. Hatachton mipnei shuhu tamun, ve'elyon mipnei shuhu tzaf. Savruha, an assumption is going to be made. Dehani tanoi, these tanoim that are arguing regarding the lower one, that these tanoim, Tanakama and Reb Shimon Yehuda, Kerebi Yehuda Svira Lahu, we're working with this as a given, that they both agree with Reb Yehuda regarding Shikha, Diomar, Basadeh, Prat Letamun. That they accept Rabbi Yehuda's approach, that when something is tamun, when a sheaf of grain is tamun, it will not become shikha. That's an assumption we're making, that both tanaim agree with that, that tamun is excluded, because it's not basadeh, it's covered over. My lav, beha komiflugi. So Abaye says, you know what then must be the point of disagreement in this top source? The more sovar min b'mino have tamun, Rabbi Shimon, that is the second opinion, holds that min b'mino creates tamun, and therefore, note, it's not shikha. Umor sovar, the Tanakama holds, the Tanakama held that the tachton becomes shikha, lo have tamun, the fact that it's covered over by its own kind, the min b'mino, makes it such that it's not tamun. Oh, so what is Abaye saying? He's saying that as far as in the case of the two bodies, one on top of the other, is there a possibility of measuring from the bottom body? So he says that would be a machlokas tanoim, according to Rabbi Shimon. He wouldn't be able to measure from the bottom body because it's tamun. According to the Tanakama, it's not considered tamun. It becomes shikha. It's not considered tamun. He would be able to measure from the bottom body. Rashi says, lo, that analysis to set up the issue concerning the tamun in a min b'mino situation as a machlokes tanoim, that's not the analysis. E Kirib Yehuda Svira Lahu, if the Tanoim and the top source would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that Basodeh is to the exclusion of Tamun, the Kule Alma, then everyone would have agreed Min Bemino have a Tamun. Once again, if you were to make the assumption, then there would be no Machlokas Tanoim, because you're dealing with min b'mino, two like substances, the bottom one would have become tamun. V'hocha, the brisa at the top, b'plukta derbiyudav rabbona komiflugi. The tanoim we see above actually parallel the machlokis rabbiyudah and the rabbonan. They argue regarding the tachton, whether it's shikha or not. The Rabbonon, Kirabbonon, the Rabbonon who held that the Tachton is Shikha, they hold, like the Rabbonon who argue with Rabbi Yehuda, that Basodeh comes to include Tamun. For Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who said that the bottom one is not Shikha, Kirabbi Yehuda, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that says Basodeh excludes Tamun. The Gemara asks, Ihachi, if the machlokis in the source above is simply a machlokis, whether tomun is included in shikha or excluded, my iri agabi chavero, why did the source feature that scenario of placing sheaves of grain upon other grains? Afilu ba'ofar hubitzor nami. If you want to describe and say the whole machlokis is concerning the lower grains, the covered ones, why do they have to be covered by other grains, upper grains? Let them be covered by dirt or by pebbles. In hachi nami, you're right. It wasn't absolutely necessary to teach, if being that we are focusing on creating a case of tamun and then have a machlokis tanaim on the issue of tamun, it could have been covered, the lower ones could have been covered by other materials as well. And there would have been a machlokis there too. So then what was the significance of teaching that the lower ones are covered by other sheaves of grain? Ulo diacha koichei de Rabbi Yehuda, to show us how far Rabbi Yehuda goes, diomar filu min bamino have tamun. Even though they're like substances, it still creates tamun. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, tamun is excluded, even though it's being covered by a like substance. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, topic heading, Ofan Shenirtzach. We're going to touch on how did the murder take place, Umikum Hagufa Kishimotsu, and the location of the body when it was found. Tana Rabbanan Cholol. The pasuk says Ki Motze Cholol Ba'Adoma. Cholol V'lo Chanuk. Cholol indicates being cut or decapitated by a sword, and not strangled. In other words, we're talking about someone murdered by the sword, not strangulation. Cholol v'lo mefaper. He has to be completely dead and not someone that's still twitching around. Bo adama. What does that tell me? V'lo tomun bagal. Not covered by stones, the body that is. No fail. Pasuk uses the term no fail, and we have, you can see the pasuk on the side that we are darshaning. What does no fail tell me? Velo talui be'ilon, and not a body that you find suspended from a tree, a murder victim from suspended from a tree, that will not create egla rufa. Basodeh velo tsof alpanei hamayim. Basodeh tells me that it has to be in the field and not a body you find floating on water. Rabbi Lozer Omer Bekulon im hoya cholol orphan. In all of these cases, if the victim was murdered through a sword, even if it's tomun bagal, even if it's toli ba'ilon, it's tzof amayim, orphan. What does orphan mean? We would have the egla arufa ceremony. Tanya Omer Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda Omru lo the Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer, as we just, I'm sure everyone got the sense, he's very inclusionary of many scenarios will lead to Egla Rufa. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Rabbonon said to Rabbi Lozer, "I ata moida shim hoya chanuk umuto ba'ashpa she'ein orphan." Wouldn't you agree that if you find a murder victim through strangulation and the body is cast on a garbage heap, that there would be no eglo arufa? Wouldn't you agree with that? Alma cholol v'lo chanuk. So by agreeing with that, you're acknowledging that the word cholol is meaningful, meaning cholol is someone killed through a sword and not strangulated. Well, hachanami, by the same token, you should pay, let's say, serious attention, give weight to the other words, bo adama v'lo tomun bagal, in the field or in the dirt on the ground and not covered with stones. No fail v'lo toli b'ilon basadeh v'lo tzaf al gabi mayim. You should exclude all of those cases as well, even if they were killed by the sword. For Rabbi Lozer, why is it that Rabbi Lozer says that once the murder victim is killed by the sword, and all the other factors fall away. They don't. They're of no concern, and it will be grounds for Egla Rufa. Because Cholol Yisera Ksiv, because the word Cholol appears several times. It's a repeated word in that parsha, and the fact that it's emphasized tells me that once it's a murder victim through the sword, then we have Egla Rufa, regardless of the other circumstances. However, Cholol also tells us that if it's not a murder victim through the sword, but it's strangled, then there would be no Egla Arufa. Nimsa Somoch L'Sfaro L'Ir Sheruba Oivde Kechavim, if the body was found near the border, the national border, or near a city whose majority are idol worshippers, then there would be no Egla Arufa. Dechtiv, the Pasuk said, Ki Yimotsei. If you chance upon, and the word Yimotsei is here prat to the exclusion of Lemotsui, to a situation that you would expect. Yimotsei indicates something unusual, chancing upon the unusual. Motsui is a reference to something that's common. Murders take place, relatively speaking, often on the border. Murders are likely to take place when you're in the vicinity of a city of idol worshippers. So, therefore, in those cases, there will be no, where the body is found there, there will be no Egla Arufa. O le'ir she'ein ba beizdin. De bo'ina, if a body is found, near the city, a city that doesn't have a court in it, so that city, even though it's closest, there won't be any Egla Arufa. De bo'ina, zikne ho'ir v'leka. You need to have a fulfillment of elders of the city. And v'leka means, and it's lacking. The Mishnah had said, Nimtza somoch l'sfar, etc. And also, l'ir she'ein bo beizdin, lo hoyu moididin. So the Mishnah said that if you found the body near a city that doesn't have a court in it, so there would be no measuring. And then it went on to say, "Ein moididim elo liir shiyesh ba beizdin." Well, doesn't that seem to be redundant? Pshita, the closing comment seems to be obvious. Kevan de tana, since you taught liir she'ein ba beizdin, that you wouldn't measure to a city where there is no court. There are no sages, no elders there. Ano yodano, I would then know the ein moididim elo l'ir shiyesh ba beizdin. Why then does the Mishnah have to add that we don't do medida unless it's to a city that has a court in it? The Gemara answers why the seeming redundancy. Ha komash malon kedesanya. Whereas I need the doubling of this halacha for the following. Minayin shenimtza somuch liir she'ein bo beizdin. From where do you know that if you found a body the nearest city to the body was a city that had no court in it? Shemanifen oisa umodedin liir she'esh bo beizdin. That you would continue measuring till you get to a city that has a court in it. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, V'lokhu zikne ho'ir hahi mikomokom. Rashi says, Talmud Lomar, V'lokhu zikne ho'ir mikomokom, dehai ho'ir kro yaseruhu. The word ho'ir is extra. Demotz l'michta v'hoyo ho'ir akrove elocholo v'lokhu zikeneho. Eglas bokar. Could have used a pronoun, its elders, but it added the word the city. So far, I think that we still need some clarification. What have we said over here? The clarification will be appreciated by learning the Rashi. In other words, by learning Rashi, we'll achieve clarity. Rashi Just above the Rashi we just read, Komashmi Tisanya, Vahochi Komar, Nimtsa Somuch Lir Shainbo Bezdin, if the body was found closest to a city that had no court in it, Ain Modinim Loyal Lir Shieshbo Bezdin, you don't figure that in the measuring. You continue measuring till you get to a city that has a court in it. Ezo he ir Shieshbo Bezdin Krovalo, whichever city that has a court in it, that's closest to it, that will be the city for the Egla Rufa. V'ilo hoder Tanya, if I didn't have the doubling expression in the Mishnah, Have Amino Ein Moidedin Klal, I would have thought the following. I would have thought if they started measuring, and the closest city they got to was a city that had no court in it, says, oh, that would be a sign, so to speak, that we stop the whole measuring. And there's not going to be any Eglo Arufa. So the double expression in the Mishnah, that what we've termed before as redundancy, tells me, no, if you're measuring and the closest city happens to be one without a court, keep measuring till you get to a city that has a court in it. And then establish and then conclude, is this city that you just reached with a court in it the closest city to the corpse? Or maybe in the other direction, there's a closer city that happens to have a court in it. But the main point is that without the doubling, I would have thought that if in your measuring the first city you come to that's closest to the corpse has no court in it, the whole process stops. Komashmon, we come to tell you, not so. The Mishnah. Before we read the Mishnah, we have on the side a topic heading, Nimtza Hachalol Mechuvon Bein Shteyaros. Imagine finding a murder victim exactly between two cities. And another situation, Haguf HaRosh B'Shnei Mekomos, case where the body has been separated from the head and they're in two separate locations. And a third point is, Me'ayin HaYomodedin, from where on the body did they start the counting in order to determine which city was closer? Was it maybe from the mouth, from the navel, from the heart? Let's see. Let's turn to the Mishnah. Nimsa mechuvon bein shtei ayoros. If a body, a murder victim, is found between two cities, exactly between two cities, shtein mevios shtei agolos. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, both cities bring each one a calf of its own. V'ein Yerushalayim mevio egla rufa. If Jerusalem happens to be the closest city, it won't be included as a possibility of bringing the Egla Arufa. Nimtza Roisha b'mokom echad v'gufa b'mokom acher, molichen ha-roish eitzel ha-guf, divrei Rabbi Lezer. If you find the two separated, so Rabbi Lezer says, you bring the head to where the body is. Rabbi Kiva omer ha-guf eitzel ha-roish, you bring the body to where the head is. Me'ayin hoyu moidedin, Rabbi Lezer Omer Mitiburo. There are three opinions. The first is Rabbi Lezer says that the measuring would be from the Tiburo, the navel. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mechotmo, from his nostrils, from where he breathes. Rabbi Lezer Ben Yankov Omer Mimokom Shinas Echolol Mitzavoro, from the part of the body that a person would become a cholol, and that is from the neck. Why is there, when we speak about cholol being a murder victim, why is that associated with the neck? That itself will be explained in the Gemara. The Gemara. My taima de Rebbe Lezer. What is the basis for Rebbe Lezer that if you find a body exactly between two cities, they both bring calves? Kosovar, Efsher, Litzamtzem. Rebbe Lezer is of the opinion that when it comes to measuring, it's possible to be exact. And the posuk that says Ho'ir HaKrova is not to be taken literally in the singular. Hu Krova Ve'afilu Krovos. When it says in the city nearest, it can mean the city's nearest as well. V'ein Yerushalayim Mevia Egla Rufa. Maybe just a word before we go on with regard to Rebbe Lezer, who said that Efshar Litzamtzem, if it were Efshar Litzamtzem, and yet it means you can't be exact. Let's just say that. And yet, our measuring indicates that that they're both the same distance. The halacha would have been, they bring one calf, and they make a stipulation. If we're the closer one, so then this is brought on our behalf. And if you're the closer one, so then that which we're bringing is brought on your behalf. But Rabbi Elazar doesn't say that. He doesn't say. He says, Efshel Etzamtzem. You can actually be, when you measure, you can reach precision, exactitude, and as a result of that, plus understanding that the word krova in the Chumash is not to the exclusion of krovos, he concludes, bring two calves. The Ein Yerushalayim Mevi'a Egla Rufa, the Yom Akra, the Pasuk had said, Le Rishta. V'kosovar Yerushalayim Lo Nishak L'Shvatim. The word Le Rishta means as an inheritance. So the Pasuk had said, in Dvarim Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Aleph, it said, "Ki motzei cholo ba'adom asher Hashem Elokecha nosein l'chol rishta." If you find a murder victim on the ground that the Almighty gave to you as an inheritance, so then the Egla Rufa procedure continues. Inheritance means something that was owned by father, then inherited by son. When he dies, inherited by the next generation. It's a personal type ownership. The word L'Rishta indicates found in a place that's subject to personal ownership. However, Yerushalayim, the Kosov Yerushalayim, Lo Nischalk L'Shvatim. Jerusalem was not part of the division of the land of Israel when the landmass of Jerusalem of Israel was distributed amongst the Shvatim. Yerushalayim was a separate entity. In effect, owned by no one, or if you may prefer, owned by everyone. But we can certainly say no one could claim any ownership to any part of Yerushalayim. Nimtza roishoy b'mokom b'chulei. The Mishnah described head found in one location, body found in another. B'mayi komifligi. The machlokes that we saw in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, what's the issue that they're arguing about? If it's a machlokas concerning from where do you do the measuring, well, from the fact that the last part of the Mishnah deals with the question of from where is the measuring to take place. The earlier part of the Mishnah dealt with the body in one place and the head in the other place was unrelated to the issue of measurement. Rabbi Yitzchok explains the issue of the head and body separated relates to something else altogether. Meis mitzvah is a body that one finds unburied and unaccounted for. Meaning, no one. When I say unaccounted for, meaning no, we don't know. There's no one around who will bury it. There's no relatives around that take charge of the burial. You're walking by, you find the body. No one else is around to bury it. You have to bury it. That's called meis mitzvah. And a unique aspect of meis mitzvah is that he is buried where he is found. He is kona makomu. He acquires the ground, so to speak, upon which he is located. This is one of the takonas that were made, that are featured in Maseches Bava Kama. It's one of the takonas, the tenoyim that Yehoshua made when the ten takonas, ten tenoyim that Yehoshua instituted when the Jews entered the land of Israel. So now that we've given a bit of background to this idea of meis mitzvah kona makomo v'hochi komar, the Mishnah is to be understood as follows. L'kovro kona makomo. A body that's found, as far as where it's to be buried where it's found. V'heicho denimso roisha b'mokom echad v'gufa b'mokom acher. In a case where the head is in one location and the body is in another location, you bring the head to where the body is. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Haguf Eitzel Harosh, the other way around. The body is brought to where the head is. What's the underlying point of disagreement? What's the explanation of their disagreement? Mor sovar gufei beduchtei nofil. The opinion of Rabbi Elazar is such that the body fell where you found it. That's where the person died. Resha de nodi de nofil. The head, nodi is it means movement. In other words, the head rolled away. So if you have a person that was decapitated, the body drops where it is, and that's where you found it. The head rolled away. Bring the head to the body. Umar Savar, Rabbi Kiva, he says, Resha hecha de nofil nofil. The head where it fell, it fell. That's where the burial is to take place. Gufa hu deroid vazil. The body, and you know you can see this in the case of slaughtering, the body continues to move. So the person was decapitated, but there was still nerve movement, and the body, right, means it ran. It ran away. It ran further away, a few paces away. So, but that's not where the death took place. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva holds, you bring the body to where the head is. From what part of the body do you start the measure when measuring to the closest city? So we saw three opinions. In the Mishnah, we saw three opinions. What's the underlying point of Machlokas? More so, Rabbi Kiva holds, Iker Chiyusa Be'ape. The main aspect or main source of life is Ape means his face. Rabbi Kiva made reference to measuring from the nostrils. That's where a person breathes. The breath of life comes through one's nostrils. That's Ape, his face. Mosovar, Rabbi Elazar holds, Iker Chiyusa Be'tibure. The main source of life is from that area of the body that we call the navel. Based on Rashi, I think you can say that the word halal is associated with the absence of life. Life has been removed. So what was the mainstay of the life when the person was alive? And when that is removed, so that's when he becomes called a halal. So Rabbi Kiva is saying that the mainstay of life is through one's breath. So measurement takes place starting from the nose. And according to Rabbi Elazar, the mainstay of life is from the person's midsection. So that's where the measuring takes place, because it's from that point that he becomes a cholol. Leimo ki hani tanoi. Can we say that the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar parallels the following machlokas tanoim? Mehechon havlad notzar. From where is an embryo formed? What's the first part in embryonic development? What's the first part to become formed? So, meirosho. The first opinion says from its head. V'cheinu omer. The pasuk says mimei imi ata goizi. V'omer gozi nizrech v'hashlifi. The word nizrech has to do with like the nozir and hair growth. It's a reference to the head. The word gozi appears with nizrech, and the word gozi also appears with the birth of a child. So from even before that, from within the mother's womb, you see the word gozi. So gozi has to do with head, child formed from head. Abba shol, Omer, another opinion, mi tiburo. The child's formation is from the area of the navel. Umushalech shoroshoi eilech veilech. And as the embryo develops, it casts its roots are cast in all directions. So we have here a machlokes tanoim concerning mehechon avlad notzar. The Tanakama says head. That would seem to parallel the idea of Rabbi Kiva, where the ikur of life is from the face, from the head, and Rabbi Shol, where the child develops from the tibur. So the ikur of life is from the tibur. Tumor says no. Afilu temo Abba Shol, which means we can actually say that Abba Shol will agree with Rabbi Akiva. Ad kan lo kom Rabba Shol alinyan yitzira. Up till now, Rabbi Abba Shol states his opinion only with regard to fetal formation. Dechi mitzar, vlad. When the vlad is formed, be mitzar, say mitzar. It's Its development is from its midpoint, its middle part of its body, and it branches out from there. Avalinin fiyusa, but as far as where the essence of life is, where the main stay, the main factor in life preservation, the kulei alma, that means not just Rabbi Akiva, but Abba Shaul as well, the kulei alma be'ape hu. It's from the breath, from the face. Dichtiv kol asher nishmas ruach chayim be'apov. Here you see chayim, ruach chayim, the life breath is be'apov, in one's face. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer mimokom shenase cholol mitzavoro. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that the parsha of Egla Arufa, the measurement that is for Egla Arufa, is from the neck. My time of the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the kidichtiv, the pasuk says loseis oisoch el tzavorei chalalei rishaim. Now, without translating the pasuk literally, what you do see here is the word chalal is juxtaposed with tzavar. So that the tzavor is the point from which the measuring shall take place. Because at tzavor, you create halal. And halal is the subject of Egla Arufa. Ki motze halal basadeh. The Mishnah. This Mishnah, we introduce on the side, refers to tafkidam shel, the role of. Now, the Mishnah is not going to speak about Zikne Yerushalayim. They were dealt with till now. They dealt with the measuring. The Mishnah will make an allusion to them, but also, furthermore, Zikne Oisayir, the elders of that city which is found closest to the victim, and HaKohanim, the role of the Kohanim. The Mishnah. Niftaru Zikne Yerushalayim Ohochlehem. Once the Zikne Yerushalayim, the members of the high court who were involved with measuring, Niftaru means they finished and walked away. They went home. Ziknei Oisuir, at that point then, the elders of the closest city, Mevin Eglaz Bokor, Asher Lo Moshcha Ba'ol, they bring a calf that did not draw a yoke. In other words, a yoke, it's a type of a harness that's placed on an animal that's, through that it's attached to a plow. It never had, this calf never had a yoke upon it, while it walked with it. In other words, the calf will be disqualified if it walked with a yoke on it. V'ein hamum poiselba. In contrast to other cases, for example, a red heifer, the poraduma, which is disqualified by a blemish, the Egel is not disqualified by a blemish. Sacrifices are disqualified by a blemish, but this is not a sacrifice. Even though it has an atonement element to it, it has nothing to do with animal with something brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Umoridin oisa lenachal eson. And the calf is then brought down to a nachal eson, to a harsh valley. Eson kemashmo kosher. The word eson means something that's tough, maybe we'll say it in the context here is hard ground. Afalpi she'eno eson kosher. However, as far as the halacha is concerned, that's not a binding factor, so that if you took the Egla Arufa to a location that the ground was not eson, wasn't hard, it's still okay. For orphan oiso bekupitz me'achorea, and it's decapitated by using a kupitz. Kupitz is a, Rashi says, kemin sakin golo, type of large knife. It's maybe a chopping knife, and it's decapitated from behind its head, meaning from the back of its neck. Umakoma osur milizra milavoid, where it was decapitated, it's then forbidden to plant or to cultivate, to till the land. However, that plot of ground could be the site on which you would, let's say, comb flax in the linen making process, or where you would chisel stones. These are activities, but they're not earth related activities. It just happens to be a location where you might be doing those things. Ziknei oisoir rochatzin es yedam b'mayim b'mokom arifa shel egla. The elders of that city wash their hands in water where the decapitation of the calf took place. Ve'omrim, and they say, Yodenu lo shafhu es hadam azev ve'inenu lo ra'u. The translation of the pasuk is, our hands did not spill this blood on us. We, the elders, we did not do the murder, and our eyes did not see. Now, this is a little odd. V'chial datenu also shezikne beizden shofchi domim heim. Would it have occurred to us that these elders are murderers, that they have to come and announce that they didn't do the murder? Ella, what really is the intention is not actual murder, but it's behavior that could lead to a murder. Ella shelo bo liodenu. The elders have to say, they have to, let's say, confess, or they have to say, they have to announce that this guy, this murder victim, didn't come to us, upachanuhu, and we let him go. It's explained later, let him go means let him go on his trip without any food. Because if that would happen, that someone would come into your midst, he's a traveler, and you let him go without giving him, let's say, food for the way, he's going to go out of your town hungry. What's the next thing that's going to happen? He'll see some people, some other travelers who have food. He might go and attempt to rob them. And they, in self-defense, will kill this guy. So the elders are saying, no, we didn't, this guy didn't come to us and letting him go without food. Ve'lo ro'inu v'nachnuhu. And they also say, we didn't see him and us leave him be without, and we'll explain later what that means. It means leave him be without anyone to accompany him, to let him go alone on the road, leaving him to be a sitting duck for all kinds of prowlers. We continue at the top of Daf Mem Vov. V'akoyanim omrim, kaper l'amcho Yisrael asher podiso Hashem v'altitein dam noki bekerv amcho Yisrael. It's a plea to the Almighty that you should forgive your nation of Israel that you redeemed, and don't allow innocent blood to go unavenged in amongst Israel. Lo hoyu tsrifin lomar, they didn't say what you see in the continuation of the pasuk. It says v'nikaper lohem hadam. That's not something that the Kohanim had to say. So what is that phrase? Where is that phrase coming from? Ela ruach hakodesh mevasrosan. A divine spirit informs them, Emosai shetasu kocha, when you do this ceremony of eglo arufa, hadam miskaper lohem. The blood, the murder is atoned for. Of course, if the actual murderer is discovered, is found, then this doesn't stand. This does not stand in place of a court prosecution of the actual murderer. But in the meantime, a murder did take place, and that's a national catastrophe, and therefore there has to be some form of forgiveness and atonement that is in fact accomplished if they do this whole ceremony. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.